Shall we start with a prayer? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Seed of wisdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are looking at the Holy Eucharist, and we're calling it the Triple Sacrament. It was our present Holy Father who coined the term the Triple Sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. What do we mean? We mean that the Holy Eucharist, although one sacrament, is really one sacrament on three different levels. The essence of a sacrament is, it is something visible, sensibly perceptible, that Christ instituted, which then confers the grace that the sacrament signifies. Suppose we just look at the meaning of a sacrament in the upper right hand of your outline. Every sacrament, therefore, is a visible sign. By visible, we mean somehow perceptible by the senses. But it is a sign. Meaning what? Meaning that it externally signifies something which is done internally. Thus in baptism, what is externally signifies is a cleansing or a washing. And what is internally taking place is the cleansing of the soul. Consequently, each one of the seven sacraments has something external that symbolizes, signifies, or identifies what is going on in the human spirit. Each of the seven sacraments was personally, historically, individually instituted by Christ. This bears emphasis. Why? Because nowadays there are so many strange ideas questioning whether Christ instituted any of the sacraments. I was already a member attending a convention in Chicago at which about 100 both Catholic and Protestant theologians were in attendance. The opening keynote speech was given by a prominent Catholic theologian, in which he couldn't have been clearer that Jesus Christ did not institute the sacrament of the priesthood. It is a later development, second or third century, that in one sentence is a good definition of Protestantism. Among the definitions I give for Protestantism is priestless Christianity. We've got to be very clear that Christ did indeed institute all seven sacraments, including here the sacrament of the Eucharist. Thirdly, the sacraments infallibly confer grace. Just because a child is baptized, sleeping, a week old, priest pours the water, pronounces the words, and that child is validly baptized. Having been in original sin, as we believe, he is then instated in the friendship of God. In other words, the conditions, see the moral condition of the one administering the sacrament does not determine whether the grace will be conferred. It will be conferred. As Augustine says, Peter baptizes, Christ baptizes. Judas baptizes, Christ baptizes. A priest of the altar may be a Peter or a Francis of Assisi in sanctity, or a Judas laden with sin. The Mass is valid. It does not depend on the sanctity of the one who, in this case, changes bread and wine into the living body and blood of Christ. What is the grace? It is a grace which corresponds to each sacrament. There are seven sacraments because Christ wants us to receive seven different kinds of grace. And finally, although the grace is conferred just because the sacrament is administered, the dispositions of the one receiving the sacraments determines how much of the grace is received, or whether, for example, any grace is received. Thus, a person coming to Holy Communion who has the faith believes is in the state of grace. That person receives both Jesus Christ and the grace from the sacrament. Another person who does not believe or has abandoned the faith or is in grave sin, knowingly and consciously, does that person receive Christ? Yes. Does the person receive grace? No. Indeed, commits another grave sin now of sacrilege. All these qualities of every sacrament are verified in the Holy Eucharist. Now what we're doing, and we're syncopating an immense subject, the standard course in the theology of the Eucharist in the seminary, at least when I was teaching in the seminary, was 2 years, 4 semesters. You'll devote, planning is 2 classes, today and then the 1st of March. There are then 3 levels to the Eucharistic sacrament. Notice what we're saying. The Eucharist is a sacrament, something visible, sensibly perceptible, which confers the grace signified. But notice, not only as Holy Communion, the Mass is a sacrament. The real presence is a sacrament. Does that have to be known? Does that have to be known? What then do we mean? And this is the language of the present Holy Father. The doctrine is as old as the Church, but the clarification of the ideas I will try to share with you in these 2 classes are the ideas clarified, and I would say very strongly identified. This Holy Father is clear regarding the Eucharist as first sacrifice sacrament, as the language of Pope John Paul II. What are we saying? The Mass has Mass as a sacrament. Just because Mass is offered, grace is given. And we call it the sacrifice sacrament. Secondly, the Eucharist is communion sacrament. And I suppose for most people, I mean most Catholics, if you ask them, what is the Holy Eucharist as a sacrament? Or what is the sacrament of the Eucharist? They will tell you without a second thought, well, that's Holy Communion. That's true, but only 33 1/3% true. If there's one thing I hope to share and clarify for you in these classes is to realize that the Eucharist is a sacrament three times over. The Mass is a sacrament. And first grace gives grace, not only, though of course, especially to those attending Mass. Gives grace, first of all, to all believers. Question, does the Mass give grace to the whole world? Yes. To Gorbachev? Yes. To Matthew Fox? Yes. And I'm being very charitable, and they need the grace. So the Mass is a sacrament. Then Holy Communion, which I believe no Catholic would question. Of course, communion is a sacrament. The external symbol is taking, well, into the mouth food and drink to nourish. So what then is symbolized or signified? It is the internal spiritual nourishment of the soul. Then, the Holy Eucharist is presence sacrament. How this needs, dear Lord, how this needs to be believed and understood and put into practice. A bishop friend of mine wrote an article just about a year ago in a national magazine for priests. On the outside cover of the magazine was a church door with a padlock on the outside. And the title of his article was "The Greatest Tragedy in America, Closed Churches." And Jesus Christ is there. Why? So we'd be there too. But more as we go along. So just because Christ is present, that is why one of my great sorrows, as often as I'm now coming to Domino's Farms, I don't believe we have the Blessed Sacrament anywhere reserved. Am I correct? At Domino's Farms. And when we have the last of the sacred species at Mass today, I thought to myself, well, there goes our Lord. One of my greatest joys is to give conferences, lectures, of the Blessed Sacrament is present. And better still, exposed. Because Jesus Christ, just because He is in a church or chapel, He gives grace. What we'll do, therefore, depending on how far we get, I believe we were to have started at 12:30 and were to have gone, who remembers, till one time. First class ends.
2:10.
Please?
2:10.
2:10. So, I would like to cover the Eucharist as sacrifice sacrament and get into the Eucharist as communion sacrament if we can today. And then on March the 1st, finish up if we have not completed Holy Eucharist as communion sacrament and then concentrate on the Eucharist as presence sacrament. Notice what we're doing. Your chart. First of all the sacraments have six specific qualities that we identified. What we'll do now is go over the Holy Eucharist on each of these three levels and see how every one of the six essential parts of a sacrament are verified in the Holy Eucharist. First then, the Eucharist as sacrifice sacrament. And we repeat and try to remember, if you repeat it often enough, then it sticks in your mind. The Mass is the sacrifice sacrament. The Mass is a sacrament. And unlike Holy Communion, which gives grace only to the one who receives and believes and is in the state of grace, the Mass gives grace to the whole wide world. As one great writer on the sacrifice of the Mass said, "Except for the sacrifice of the Mass being offered on thousands of altars throughout the world would long ago have been destroyed because of its sins." Amen. First then, what is a visible sign of the Mass as a sacrament? Remember, it is a sacrifice. What's the visible sign? The visible sign is the separate consecration, first of the bread, over which the priest pronounces the words, "This is my body," then the consecration of the chalice, "And this is my blood." There must be two consecrations. Otherwise, there's no Mass. What is signified? What is signified historically is a separation of Christ's blood from His body on the cross, which caused His death. Christ could not have died of any sickness or disease. Christ could only have died by some physical force imposed on Him from the outside, to be exact, being nailed to the cross. Well, then caused the death of Christ. He bled to death. Christ body was drained of his blood and he died. That draining, separation that took place on Calvary is symbolized by the separate consecration of the bread and wine. And secondly, Christ on the cross offered a sacrifice. The essence of sacrifice is not that which is sacrificed. There must be something surrendered. There's our definition of sacrifice. Sacrifice is the surrender of something precious to God. Surrender of something precious to God. So surrender and precious and God are the three constitutive elements, as we say, of every sacrifice. The real heart of sacrifice is not that precious thing which is given up. It is the giving up. It's the surrender. Try to remember this. In other words, Christ on the cross did indeed allow himself to be crucified and thus bled to death. What was the precious thing, shall we say, that he offered? His human life. However, the heart of the sacrifice is not in what is offered, but in the offering, in the surrender, in the giving up. And even more specifically, in giving up to God. And that Jesus did on the cross, because at a human will, the main reason God became man was that he might have a human will. He needed a human body and a human soul to be able to suffer and die. But the main reason was he might have a human will with which then he could willingly, voluntarily, freely, lovingly offer his human life to his Heavenly Father. You know, the Mass can Christ any longer die? No. But watch this. Although he can no longer die, although Christ can no longer die, can Christ sacrifice? Yes. Only because Christ has. How many wills are there in Christ? One or two? Two, remember. Most people wouldn't even know there's a heresy that claims Christ had only one will. It's called monothelitism. Does Christ now have a human will? Yes. Once God became man, he will remain man for all eternity. And on the altar, with the consecration, who becomes present on the altar? Jesus Christ, true God and true man. Well, if he is true man, does he have a body and a soul? Yes. Can Christ's body and soul any longer separate in death? I repeat. Can Christ's body and soul any longer separate by death?
No.
I think I'm being taped. No. Does Christ have a free will? No. A free human will?
Yes.
Watch what you answer. Does Christ now on the altar, after the consecration, have a human will?
No. Be divine.
And I hope to finish all three parts and two classes. But I found from years of teaching, my talking is no guaranteeing of the student's learning. You're nearer. Does Christ on the altar, after the consecration, have a human will?
I'd say yes.
You would say yes. Keep saying yes for the rest of your life. That's why the Mass is a sacrifice. Hear it and don't forget it. The essence, the heart of sacrifice is the will. If Christ could die, he would. But he can no longer die. But can he be willing to die? Yes. And is willing to die, or his willingness to die, is signified, symbolized by the double consecration. That is our sign of Christ having a human free will with which, if he could die, he would, every time that Mass is offered. To illustrate the principle, I use this as an example. My parents were both born in present Slovakia, which finally, after more than 40 years of control by communism, is now freed. Suppose a person in communist occupied in now China, or then Russia, Hungary, Slovakia, Albania, forbidden to teach Christianity. Suppose a Catholic teacher behind closed doors in a classroom told the children, "Now, children, I'm not supposed to teach this. It's against the law. But let me teach you how to make the sign of the cross. And with me, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." Suppose that teacher will then tell the children about Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Tell them about Christ's conception, birth, death on the cross, and a resurrection on Easter Sunday. And while the children, forbidden to say anything, told his parents, and the teacher was reported to the civil authorities. Suppose he was taken into custody, put on trial, and condemned to death for breaking the law. And by the way, as Mother Teresa told me more than once, she, a native of Albania, for a priest to offer Mass in Albania means capital punishment, death. Suppose the example of the teacher. Suppose being in prison for a while, he was? Well, told to behave himself, never again to teach about Christ or Christianity, and released from prison. Suppose the teacher, and back to the classroom, and continue teaching Christianity. Suppose that happened 7 times. Each time, teacher was jailed, condemned to death, reprieved. The 7th time, the judge says, "Now look, this is too much." So then, the teacher was executed. My question, how many times did that teacher offer his life to Christ? Am I clear? 7 times. Get the point? Now what Christ did was to reverse the process. He began by offering himself once and telling us every time. Now that double consecration is performed. That signifies my willingness to offer myself. If I could die, I would for you each time that Mass is offered. I repeat, the essence of sacrifice is in the will, and Christ has a human will on the altar because, and let's repeat it, there is a man who is God on the altar. God became man, and this God-man offers himself every time that the double consecration is made in the holy sacrifice. They go on. It's internal. In other words, it is essential. Without the double consecration, no Mass. What about the offertory? The offertory and the communion of the Mass are necessary, but not absolutely necessary to have without the Mass. Case of emergency. In any case, and liturgical is to have the whole Eucharistic ritual. But I repeat, it is essential that there be the double consecration in order for there be a valid sacrifice. When was the Mass instituted? At the Last Supper. That's what Jesus did. He separately consecrated first the bread and then the chalice. And by doing that, he instituted the sacrifice of the Mass. Because the Mass is a sacrament. They go on. Infallibly confers. Every Mass always gives grace to the world, to the whole world, to the whole church, to all the participants, to the one for whom the Mass is specially offered. And then, of course, to the priest. The priest must be in the state of grace to say illicit Mass, and he commits a sacrilege if he offers a Mass and not in the state of grace. But the Mass is valid, whether it is in the state of grace or not. And notice, infallibly, just because the Mass is offered. And now in countries like ours, the number of Masses offered, the number is dwindling. If there is one thing we should pray for and beg God for and urge encourage, persuade priests to do is to offer the sacrifice of the Mass every day. As I may have mentioned in a previous class, I thought I'd finally count the number of hospitalizations I've had in the Society of Jesus, and some prolonged hospitalizations. Major surgery, before or after. You cannot take anything for major surgery, but I gotta say Mass. Father, you cannot take anything. Sorry, I'm offering Mass. In bed, but I'm offering Mass. The surgery doesn't work, so what? I die, so what? My great desire is to die on the day I offer my last Mass. To say Mass every day is the desire of the Church. And surely, in the light of what we're saying, it is necessary for the world because graces are conferred on the whole world. And dear Lord, does the world ever need God's grace? Now, what is a grace? In other words, what is a particular grace that the Holy Eucharist and the Holy Eucharist as sacrifice, sacrament, confer? We've said that every sacrament has its own distinctive sacramental grace. So it does. In general, the distinctive sacramental grace of the Eucharist is the sacramental grace to love. To love more deeply, to love more firmly, to love more generously. Both God and others. But then, what is the distinctive Eucharistic grace of the Mass? It is the grace to love God with the generosity of self-surrender. And by the way, the most important syllable in that word, self-surrender, is what? Is self. Oh. But we're not willing to surrender anything, except, you know whom? Self. And you know what? In the self. What is the most precious creature on earth for every human being? It is one's own self-will. That's all life is about. That's all. It's that simple and that hard.